Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. All right, let's begin reading in verse number 29. And we'll just, we got four verses, 29, 30, 31, 32, and we'll be done with this series. This is part four. Last Sunday morning, we began studying the subject of putting off or being a put off. We finished that last Sunday evening. This morning, we begin part three on putting on or being a put on. We talked about if we're going to put off the old man, the old nature, we need to put on some things. And so we're going to continue that idea, that thought, that theme tonight, putting on or being a put on. Verse 29, Paul continues to write to the church of Ephesus. Mind you that this is God's word, not Paul's words. God is speaking through Paul. Paul is just a pen. He is just the tongue that God has anointed to speak his word. And so God says through Paul to us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven. Glory be to God, you and I. Lord, help us tonight. I pray that you'll speak through me. Help me, Lord, with the message as well as these that are sitting here. Those that will download this message, Lord, all around, Lord, even the world, Lord, they have the opportunity to listen to this message tonight. So, Lord, the awesome responsibility to preach according to your will, Lord, is heavy upon me tonight. So I pray that you would use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul is been inspired of God to speak about how you and I are not to act like we used to act. We're not to talk like we used to talk. We're not to think the way we used to think. We're not to react the way we used to react. We're not to do some of the things that we used to have pleasure in doing, because in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. You've been changed. He wrote to the church of Corinth that if any man be in Christ, the only way you can be in Christ is be saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, or it talks about the old nature, the old way you talk, the old way even you dressed or you act, react or thought or whatever it was, those things are passed away. Why? Behold, all things are become new. You're not to be the person you used to be. Amen. I noticed that when you study Israel and when they were brought out of Egypt in the Exodus and the book of Exodus, that you will read about how that they would sin. They would grumble, they'd complain, they'd get bitter, and they'd fuss at God, and they'd fuss at the man of God, Moses, and at Aaron, and they'd turn to false idols, and they did a lot of awful things. But yet, still, you'll never read in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, where Israel was ever brought back into the bondage of Egypt. Why is that? Because Egypt is a picture of our slavery in sin. It is a picture that we were in bondage to the world, to the devil, to our own lustful flesh and desires. But yet Jesus, who is represented by Moses, he brought us out, amen. He broke the chains of sin and sorrow. He broke, and we're no longer enslaved in Egypt. We're no longer enslaved in sin's prison. We've been brought out. And the reason that the Bible says that Israel was brought out is so that they could be brought into the promised land. The reason you've been brought out of sin unto salvation is so that you might be brought into a close relationship with Jesus Christ. So you might be brought into His presence, into His work, into His ministry, into His will. There is a reason we've been brought out, but not one time will you read that Israel ever went back to Egypt. So it is with we that are saved. If you've been saved, there ain't never been a Christian truly been saved that's ever went back to the unsaved times. Amen? You can't lose it. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord, and you're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. If you could lose your salvation, tell me who had the power to pluck you out of the Father's hand. And we need to pen knife that scripture, cut it out of the book, and throw it away and burn it, because it's a lie. No one can pluck us out. We're sealed, and we're going to read this here in a little bit about eternal salvation. The Bible says if you're saved, you'll have eternal life. Not temporary life until you mess up, but eternal life. Eternal, can I get a witness? Eternal, everlasting life. And so we're told, don't live, don't act, don't be what you used to be. Don't be a hypocrite, Christian. Live for the Lord. You're no longer the devil's children. You're God's children. You're no longer children of sin and of darkness. You're children of the light. The book of Galatians speaks of, I believe. We are now children of God. And so we need to put off. And we talked about all the things we need to put off last Sunday morning and Sunday night. And now we're looking at what we need to put on. If we put off some things, but yet we don't put on some things, we're spiritually undressed. And if we're spiritually undressed, we're going to spiritually be unprepared. Ephesians 6, the same book, it says the words are, put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. I mean, if you put off, I'm glad you put off that old man. I hope you've done it last week. Today's a new day of a new week. Every week start on the Sunday, the Lord's day. And I hope in the last 7 days of last week, I hope that you can stand and say truthfully, there were times that I put off the old man. There were times I put off the old man. I can give you story after story this week. I guess the devil said, all right, big boy, you preached it with such power last Sunday. We're going to test you out. And boy, all week there were little things that devil would do. For instance, I went to the post office one day, and I had went in, and an older lady, well, she is barely getting across the road. I mean, I don't think she's ever going to get there. And I was probably a good 20, 25 feet ahead of her. And I knew if I went in and went on in, by the time the door shut, it should probably still not be there yet. But I said, I'm just going to stand here and hold the door for her. The old man says, you're in a hurry, go on in there. And I thought, man, I don't want that door to close in that old woman's face. I said, if that's my wife or my grandma or my mom, I wouldn't want anybody to do her. So I opened the post office door, and I just stood there. And she came, and she gave me such a sweet look. She said, well, thank you, young man. I thought, Lord God, I'll carry your mail back calling me a young man. Hallelujah. And then, so guess what? I turn around, get my mail, and I always look through it, because if it's junk, it goes in the post office trash can before I get back in the car. And I'm looking through it, and I'm going, and so I'm going, and somebody is about 5 foot ahead of me, and they'll go out the door. And do you think they held the door for me? When I looked up, if I hadn't looked up, the thing was that, like that to my forehead. And the devil said, you so sweet, but look how people treat you. And I got a bad saying, and I didn't say it. But when somebody don't open the door for me, or they let it slam my face, I usually look at them and say, thank you. It's to bring reproach on them, because they should have known better. And I wanted to say, thank you. But the old man wanted to, but the new man said, don't do it. And so I didn't say a word. Amen. I went on out the door. Amen. Kicked the door open, but I went out. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, all week, last week, the devil's tried those things. And I'm not saying every time I was as good as that time. But I'm telling you, I hope you've had experiences where you had victories over that old man. Last week, I even drive slower last week than I usually do. And if you knew me, my wife would tell you, for me to drive slower is an accomplishment. Because if you're in front of me, I believe in drafting. Amen? I believe in getting on your bumper and hooking up. Amen. Save gas mileage. Amen. My wife said, Lord, you're right on their back bumper. I said, we got to get there, honey. We're in a hurry. Amen. We're going to push these people along. We got to get there. But this week, anybody could pull it out in front of me about this week. I just let folks, you know, just go about their business. I don't know how it'll be next week, so don't ask next Sunday. But last week I did real good, amen. Put off the old man. Put off the old man. And so he says now let's put on some things. May I remind you, for those that wouldn't hear, think about this, and I'm not going to preach on it, but verse 23, it says, and that ye put on the new man. There are some fruits of the characteristics or the traits of the new man that we are to put on. The first thing we are to put on after we've put off the sinful man is in verse 25, we are to put on honesty. He said, speak every man truth. Why? For we are members one of another. We're in this thing together. We infect or effect each other when we lie. When we deceive, it hurts other people. Lying will tear down, but truth always builds people up. And then we go to verse 26. Don't not only put on honesty and integrity, but put on temperance. We all need this. It says to be angry, but don't sin. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We need temperance. Put on temperance. Verse 27. Don't give place or neither give place to the devil. The word devil there from the Greek means deceiver, slanderer. What he's saying in verse 25 is, don't lie, don't be a deceiver. When he gets to verse 27, he says, don't let the deceiver take root and rulership in your mind. Don't let him have a position of authority in your mind. Somebody was talking to me before church about the thoughts, and I was talking, it happens to all of us, and we got to be careful about that thought, how it builds and builds, and if we're not careful, the devil will take root in our mind. Even though the Lord has our heart, the devil can have our mind. From the very beginning, the same tactic that he does today was used in those days, and that is to plant a seed of doubt in your mind. When he told Adam and Eve, God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And yes, he was speaking physically, but what the Lord is more interested in the physical is the spiritual. He was saying to them, if you disobey, you sin. If you sin, you die spiritually. Our relationship is now broken if you sin against me. So he says, thou shalt surely die. And let me tell you, all of mankind died that day when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. I've heard people say mankind fell in sin when Adam and Eve bit that fruit. Well, that's half a truth. It ought to be said clearly. All of mankind fell in sin when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. God said, don't do it, and Adam and Eve did it. And ever since then, people are spiritually dead until they're saved when they become spiritually alive. Ephesians chapter 2, 1, and you hath he quickened. The word means made alive. I was a dead man walking, but praise God I am alive. We once were dead, but now we live, amen, in Christ. And so he says, don't give place to that deceiver. Don't let him rule in your mind. So we need to put on what? The mind of Christ. What is the scripture? Can somebody quote it tonight? Those things that are of good report, virtue, honesty, think on these things. You know the scripture I'm talking about? That's the mind of Christ. The Bible says, Philippians, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We need the mind of Christ. We need to put it on. And then in verse 28, we need to put on an unselfish giving spirit. He says, don't steal. If you're stealing, don't steal. And that's more than money, mind you. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to himself. Anybody reading that with me? Tell me if I'm reading a funny Bible up here. It says to have hands that work with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to himself? No. That's what the world's mentality is. What is it in for me? What's in it for me? How can I have everything that I want? See, that's the way we were before we got saved. All about me, 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 me. But since we've been saved and we're living right, it will be about you, 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 you. You heard the old saying, joy. If you want joy, number one is the J, Jesus. He must be number one. Number two is O for others. And then third and in last place is you. But today it's Jesus. We kind of like, you know, that's no problem putting Jesus first. But then second is not others, but it's ourselves. And then why is not you, but now it's y'all. Jesus, own self, and y'all. Y'all come behind me. That's the world's philosophy. Others are to come first. Amen? They are to come first. I was talking to Brother Archie before prayer room. He wanted to pour his heart out to me. And so I was in a meeting with him trying to help Archie tell him about the Brown family. And he was just poured his heart out to me. And I was trying to just get the name and pray for that. And then come up here and another Miss Wanda was pouring her heart out. I get busy and I got a family and I got things I enjoy doing. But God forbid that I ever get to the place that others are not important to me. And God forbid you ever get there. Amen. Amen. God forbid you ever get to that place that others are not as important as you are to yourself. And so he goes on and says that we need to have an unselfish giving spirit. Now here's the last four in closing. Verse 29. We're putting on, or we ought to be putting on these things. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me say, the fifth thing that you and I need to be putting on is edification. The Bible says that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do you know what the word corrupt means in that text? I'm sure everybody's got an opinion or a thought on what that word means. But from the Greek, the Bible was, the New Testament, most of it translated from the Greek to the English in 1611. By King James and the translators, the English translators. The word corrupt there comes from the word that means rotten or worthless. That's what the word means. It means let no rotten communication come out of your mouth. It means let no worthless communication proceed. I should use the word proceed because I want to deal with that word. Let no rotten communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no worthless communication proceed out of your mouth. Do you know people that just, their communication is just worthless? Sometimes I think we got a president like that. Just worthless. What's coming out of his mouth. We got some congressmen like that. We got senators like that. We got folks in our county like that. The hope of just worthless communication. Doesn't mean a hill of beans to me, not we that are saved, amen? We that go by the word of God don't mean a thing to us, amen? And he said, let no corrupt, no rotten, no worthless communication, what? Proceed. The word, the action, the verb is proceed. It means continually. It means that it has such a hold on you that it's in your heart. And the Bible says whatever's in your heart, your mouth will reveal it. What does that mean, Brother Keith? Well, all we ever do is speak rotten words. Chances are we got a rotten heart. If all we want to talk about is worthless matter, worthless things, and we mean worthless things that doesn't edify, we're going to see what's considered worthless and rotten. When we say these things and it proceeds out of our heart and continually, I'm not saying there's things that are not biblical that we're not talk about at times, like I like a ball game or racing or golf or hunting or cross-stitching or taking pictures and those things like that. I'm not saying that. But when a person is continually it proceeds from their heart through their mouth, worthless communication or rotten communication, God says for you and I that are saved to stop it, get a hold of it, and put it off. So what do we put on in its place? He goes on and says, but, here's what you put on, that which is good for what? To the use of edifying. That's why I said you need to put on edification. Do you know what it means to edify, or the word edification mean? So many people didn't understand the word edify or edification. They believe edification or edifying somebody means to puff somebody up, to make somebody feel good about themselves. Let me tell you something. The Word of God so many times doesn't make me feel good about myself, but it's an edifying book. Are you with me? Are you with me? So edifying doesn't mean just puff somebody up. Just say some things, even if it's honest, just so that they can feel better about themselves. No, that's not edifying. That's not edification, biblical edification. Edification simply means in the Bible to encourage by giving instructions. Think about it. It means to encourage by giving instructions. Today, before I began taking my nap, I was thinking about the service today. And I always go home and eventually get to my recliner on Sunday afternoons if I don't have a meeting or need to do something. And I'll sit there or wherever it may be, and I'll think about the message. I think about it before I preach it. I pray over it before I preach it. I preach it. I'm praying while I'm preaching it. And then when I'm done, I'm praying about what I've already preached. And I think about it. And I say, Lord, I want you to help me go through the message today and just help me if there's something I said that wasn't biblical. I don't ever ask the Lord, is there something I said somebody didn't like, because that don't really bother me, as long as it's biblical, amen? Amen. Biblical. If it's Bible, then it's going to hurt you at times. And so the devil, he decided to get in on the conversation. He did. The devil can't be everywhere, so I don't want to blame the devil. It could have been just the demons of hell. One of the demons he commissioned to get that old preacher over on Hog Mountain Road. And he got up beside my recliner. And while I'm trying to talk with the Lord and trying to think about Sunday morning's message, the devil said, that's two Sundays in a row you've been a little rough with the messages. It's about time to go edify them people. Don't you know they need some encouragement? Tell them how good they are. And I thought, yeah, that's not a bad thing. And then I thought about this verse, edify. I said, well, I want to be known as an edifying preacher. I want to be known as a preacher that edifies the saints. And I said, Lord, I think I know what it means, but let me check this thing out. So I checked it out in my study once again, and it means to encourage by giving instructions. You understand that? Have you ever, especially you men, begin to assemble something? Maybe on Christmas Eve night when your kids were little and you had a big wheel or you had a swing set, or you had a 10-speed bike or a little huffy bike like I got when I was a kid, and you got in there, and the thought is that it would take away your manhood to look at the instructions. Am I the only one that's thought that and done that? I don't think so. I ain't going to look at the instructions. And you start working, and it just ain't working out right. It's just not working out right. And you thought for surely you knew what you was doing. And you know what you do? You get discouraged. You get upset. You get bothered by it. And then if we're smart enough, we'll go ahead and get the instructions out. And we start opening them. And listen to me, we start reading the instructions, and all of a sudden we are getting encouraged by receiving instructions. And things start falling. Are you hearing me? Things start falling in place. And before you knew it, what took you 2 hours couldn't do, it only took you 30 minutes to do now. That's what it means. You know what we do? we go through life, try to go live the way we want to, fight our own battles, and the whole time the instruction books is right over there. And we try to go, we get discouraged and down and out and want to say, wonder why the Lord don't care. Wonder why the Lord not giving me victory. What's going on? And he almost like the Lord say, hey, dummy, I gave you the instruction manual. Open it up. Amen. And I'm kidding. Don't look at me like that. The Lord ain't never called you a dummy. Amen. He made me feel like a dummy, but he never called me a dummy. But he says, here's the instruction manual. Here it is. Open it up. And then we open it up, study it, read it, call somebody that knows the Bible. They help, and we get edified. How? We got encouraged by receiving instructions. So that's what I did this morning. Some folks may think, he didn't edify me this morning. He didn't edify me last Sunday. Boy, preaching on that old man. That didn't edify me. You don't understand what the biblical word means. To encourage by giving instructions. Amen? That's what it means. So what are we going to put off? We're going to put off corrupt, rotten, worthless communication. How can we do that? Clean your heart up. Because whatever is in your heart comes out your mouth. Can you help me tonight? We're almost done. It's not even 7 yet. So can I get some amens? You ought to be happy about that. Amen? Amen. All right, so what do we put on? We put off rotten communication. What do we put on in its place? Edification. It says, why do we want to put on edification? Notice what it said in the latter part of 29. That it, what? Edification. That it, the edification you give. That it, the edification you are to give to others. That edification may minister grace unto the hearer. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word grace here is not talking about God's grace. It's not talking about saving grace. It's talking about, the word means joy, pleasure, improvement. If we edify each other the biblical way, Brother Chris, if we edify folks God's way, we will minister improvement in the lives of others. Are you with me? I have had so many comments about today's message and last Sunday's message. And I know in my heart that the edification God allowed me to do from this sacred dais has ministered pleasure and joy to you spiritually in your life. You're close to the Lord, or you're benefiting from obeying the Lord through the messages. That is what I'm supposed to do. Edify you, encourage you by giving you instructions so I can minister improvement, joy, pleasure in your life. And there's no greater joy than being right with God. No greater pleasure in your heart and soul than to know you are right with God. That's why I feel sorry for folks that go to some of these liberal churches and the pastor, the Bible says that they have a congregation full of people with itching ears, and the speakers just kind of tickle their ears. They puff them up, the congregation. Thank God there's still some men of God that are still edified by giving you instruction, and through that instruction you're encouraged. And through that encouragement, instruction, you have pleasure and joy, and you have improvement in your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, so we need to give edification. Verse 30, we need to put on obedience. Obedience. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby, it's through Him, it's His work, that's what it means, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We are to put on obedience. It says grieve not. The word grieve simply means to offend. To offend. To offend. It says don't offend Holy Spirit. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But I can honestly say that I'm part of the group that at times I have offended Holy Spirit. You know how you offend Holy Spirit? You offend Him by not obeying Him. When He says tonight to you, if somebody's in the building, that Holy Spirit nudged your heart and He said, testify about what Jesus did for you yesterday. Testify about what Jesus did this week. Testify about that worship you had this week. Testify about this. Testify about the blessings of God. Testify how the tide can turn if you remain faithful. And if someone in this building did not stand and give a testimony, you are guilty of offending Holy Spirit. And when we offend Holy Spirit, we bring sorrow to Holy Spirit. Do you know that Holy Spirit can feel sorrow? That's what it means. You offend Him, that it makes Him sorry. And by the way, it's not a thing. Holy Spirit's a person. It's not a thing. Not some little ghost that floats around. It's a person. It's a person. You can bring sorrow to Holy Spirit. Why? Because you offended Him. You did not obey Him. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to hurt Holy Spirit's heart. It's a little deeper than that. The problem is not so much that He's offended that He didn't get His way in your life, but He's offended and in sorrow because if you would have obeyed Him, you would have enjoyed some blessings that you're not enjoying now. He's not so much sorrying for Himself. He's sorrying for you and me because we messed up. We disobeyed Him. When Holy Spirit says do it, if He does, it lines up with this book. I've heard people say, the Holy Spirit told me to do it, preacher. And I said, you show me a piece of Scripture that lines up with what you did. Holy Spirit will never lead contrary to this book. Never. But if the Holy Spirit really leads you to do it, and you better be very careful what you say Holy Spirit led you to do. Because a lot of times we led ourselves to do it. Amen? You know? Amen? You get it before your Sunday school class? The Holy Spirit wants us to be here today. The Holy Spirit gave me this message today. But 3 days ago, while he's going down the road, you listened to it on a radio station or CD, you know, and it helped you. The Holy Spirit didn't give you that. A man did. You better be careful what you say Holy Spirit did. Amen? And I'm telling you what, we need to put on obedience. Obey Him. Why? Because if we don't, He sorrows for us because we live in disobedience. Disobedience is sin. And when we sin, we hurt our relationship and our growth with Jesus Christ and our testimony with others. So don't grieve Holy Spirit. Don't offend Him. If He tells you to do it, then do it. Hallelujah. Do it. If He says, hand that person $10. Do it. If He says, stand up and testify, do it. If we're singing in the congregation, He says, go to the altar and pray, do it. If He says, get up and go over to so-and-so that look like they're burdened, go hug their neck. He may not tell you to go over there and preach them a little sermonette. He just wants you to go over there and hug their neck. Just look at them and say, I'm praying for you. Amen? Do it. Some of the greatest services I've ever been part of, whether it was in here or the other places I preached or attended, was when one person would get up and do something that Holy Spirit told him or her to do. I've been in services before, and somebody would get up. I'm telling you, they'd get up, and they'd go over there, and they'd hug somebody. And they didn't make a big show out of it. Holy Spirit don't want you to make a big show of yourself. He's not about pride and arrogance. He's about humbleness, humility. But you go over there, and you whisper to that person, or you look at that person, you say, I love you. And you might want to tell them you're sorry. You might want to apologize. You might just say, I really prayed for you. The Holy Ghost of God told me to lift you up, and I'm just over here to tell you that I love you. And I'm telling you, things begin to happen in the church service. And someone else does it. How many times we were singing, whether Miss Angie, whoever sang, someone would get up, and they'd go to the altar. Then I've seen somebody else get up. Then I've seen folks weeping and crying. We've had that around here. Why? Because one person obeyed Holy Spirit. Don't grieve them in this church. please don't be guilty of grieving Holy Spirit. Don't do that. I believe we have every service people grieve Holy Spirit. I do not believe that we've ever had a service where everybody obeyed Holy Spirit. I believe every service somebody grieves the Holy Spirit. Somebody does not obey Him. Whether it's to testify, whether it's to go to somebody and hug their neck or shake their hand, whether to give a piece of money, whether whatever it is, I believe every service at Open Door Baptist Church, at least one person grieves Holy Spirit. Because God knows when we meet together in this place where two or three are gathered, in His name, He'll be in the midst. That means He's a working, He's a willing in our auditorium, and that means there's people that sit in here that the Lord says, do this, and yet they sat on there, do nothing, and they do nothing. Don't be guilty of that. The Holy Spirit says, hit the altar. You better get up. You better get up. I'm telling you, there's been times, I remember one of the last services, and it's 7:07 on mine, but I remember one of the last services I had with Brother Wendell. We were in the town is... the Vidalia, the onion, and the onion place. Is that right? Vidalia, Georgia? And Wendell and I and my brother went to a preacher's meeting. And I went down there and Wendell went with me. You know, Wendell went to a lot of these meetings with me. A lot of times he drove. And we went down there. Of course, I had to drive because he had lost his peripheral vision. He could only see straight ahead. He couldn't see to his right or left. And so I drove, and my brother, he met us down here, and he left his car here, and we all three went together. And a lot of the preachers, I didn't know them. These were new preachers, and I didn't know them. And, I mean, I knew two or three of them, but I didn't know a lot of them, a lot of pastors in South Georgia. And we were having a service, and there was two preachers there. Obviously, I don't know the whole story. They were pastors. They must have been going through some hard times in their church. I don't know if some people had forsook them or been trying to destroy them. I don't know. I know how sometimes it could be as a pastor. So the moderator said, I want these two men to come, and they put two chairs. And those two preachers came, and they were weeping. And they set them down in them chairs, and he said, I want all you preachers, I want you to come and lay hands on these two men. We want to encourage them, edify them in the Lord. We want to help them. And we gathered around, and I got to praying. And the Holy Spirit of God said, He said, what about those people back at Open Door that's so good to you? What about those people at Open Door Baptist that love you and your family? And I remember back when Morgan had her leukemia for 2.5 years, how folks stood up to the occasion. I remember the love. I got thinking about what an awesome deacon we've got. Chris Shaw has never gave me 1 ounce of, never. I'm telling you, he's never given his church drop. He does things right here a lot of you don't even know. And I got thinking about these new families that came in. Then I thought about the old families been here and they still stick it out. And boy, God just squeezed my heart, and I was thinking, thank God I don't have to go home to a church where there's fighting and a fussing going on. Amen. And I got thanking God, and I stood up and turned, and right back in the corner on the other side of the PA section was old long-legged Wendell Harris. And he was sitting there. And when I stood up from praying. And we was all weeping and crying. And I stood up, and I think I hugged my brother and some other preachers we was hugging. And I turned, and boom, I saw him. And the Holy Spirit of God, he had his head down like as if he was praying. Me and my brother sat up front. Doug said, sit up front with me. And so I said, Wendell, come on. Wendell said, I'm fine back here. I said, you ain't nothing but a backslider, Wendell. Get up here, you know. And he was set back there, and he wouldn't come up front, so... I started going back, and I looked, and I seen him bowing his head. And the Holy Spirit of God, all preachers were just going back to their seats. We need to keep the service going. We don't want to interrupt the service. We got things to do. And the Holy Spirit said, that man back here has been a real special blessing to you as a preacher. That man right there is special. That man right there has encouraged. That man's had friends that's hurt you, but he stayed with the man of God. And he got stronger in his relationship with me after that than he was before it. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to go tell him one more time how you feel. And the moderator was already starting to talk again. And I got up and I walked down that aisle. And I got, the more I walked, the more I cried and I cried. He still had his head. He didn't even see me coming. And I kept coming, walking back here, and I was bawling and crying. And I thought to myself, I can't hug all my church, but I can hug Wendell for everybody. And so I come back, and I got about right here, and he still hadn't seen me because he had no peripheral vision. And I kind of walked up and looked, and he looked up, did his head back like he was surprised, and he seen my face. I was bawling. And that man stood up, and I hugged him, and I held him, and I said, Wendell, I could never tell you what you mean to me in Open Door Baptist Church. I love you. You've been my partner. You've been my helper, and I love you. And preacher, I just do what I can. I wish I could do more. I said, oh, my goodness, Wendell, if you did more, I couldn't stand it. I love you. And when I got done hugging on that man, mind you, he passed away in, what, 2 weeks? Mind you, he passed away in 2 weeks. I turned around, and when I turned around, guess what was happening? Anybody want to guess? Anybody want to guess what's happening? Other people was doing the same thing. You're right, Daryl. Somebody else done got up and went over here. And somebody else done got up and went over here. And they was just hugging on each other, crying. And folks began to worship and praise God. Why? Because I obeyed Holy Spirit. I'm glad I obeyed Holy Spirit for two reasons now, Brother Allen. Number one, he passed away 2 weeks later. And I would never forget when I disobeyed Holy Spirit and put my arms around that man and told him something he already knew. I would regret it right now. And number two, I'm glad I obeyed Holy Spirit because it helped the service, so to speak, get out of the banks. One person. You just obey. Don't grieve him. If he says to do it, go do it. Lay aside your stinking pride, amen? Get up and do what God's told you to do. And it'll help our services around here. Oh, put on obedience. And then I want to say, put on kindness. He says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness. These are ugly words, aren't they? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Those are wicked words, aren't they? Words I don't want to be associated with since I'm a Christian. I want to be associated with malice, strife, bitterness. Ugly words. Them are words from hell. Words that the devil wants you to be involved in. God wants you to be sweet. And so I want to say, put on kindness. 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 Show kindness to your family, your church family. May I remind you, we're talking about the Christian family here. We're not talking about the saved, our relationship with the lost, the saved's relationship with the lost. We are talking tonight in Ephesians 4 about the relationship with the saved, with the saved. It says to be kind. Do you know we as brothers and sisters in the family of God can be unkind to each other? Amen. Come on, I got three amens. Don't act so holy. Do you believe you and I can be unkind to each other? Even that we're family of God, we can still be stinking unkind? Sure we can. We got to be careful. You know, and I know we all go through different things and we have different feelings and we have a bad day at work and those things, but, you know, we got to be careful what we say to somebody. I've seen people work around the church, work hard, give their time, their energy, and the very next service somebody come to them and make a comment that's unkind. When somebody should have came and said, God bless you for what you did. I appreciate you working out here in this sun and this cold. I appreciate what you did for the glory of God. But instead, they're unkind. That's not going to encourage nobody. If somebody does something for the church or for someone in this church, it ought to be recognized. And it ought to be valued. It ought to be valued. How many has come to Miss Angie and say, thank you for what you did last night? How many? You know what we got? The pastor and the pastor's wife are supposed to do that stuff. That's unkindness. How many has thanked them Sunday school teachers today for what they did? Every Sunday morning, I tell them two things, that I thank God or I'm thankful for them and that I love them. Before they walk out, I say, Sunday school teachers, will you amen or don't? Say, oh my, if I'm lying. I say, I love you. I want them to know I appreciate what they do. I want them to know that I know there's others that won't come to Sunday school that they wish they did if they had heard these teachers. If you don't come to Sunday school, you miss out. You really miss out. We got some good Sunday school teachers. You are missing out. I'm telling you, you need it. Come on in here and get part of these classes. You'll enjoy it. But I'm telling you, have you went to your teacher lately and said, I love you? It shouldn't be said from a teacher to the preacher. I've not been told lately that I'm a blessing to anybody in my class. That's a shame. Don't be unkind. Don't be unkind. Appreciate each other, amen? Appreciate each other. I don't care if it's a small d. Try your best to acknowledge it. Try your best to say thank you. I'm not asking you to send a card and a present. I'm just saying at least say thank you. It's some folks you got to say, at least don't say nothing at all. That's the best they can do. Just don't say nothing. Amen? Because what comes out of their mouth is if somebody does something with the Lord, don't come in and say, I believe I could have done that better. Don't walk in the corner to another lady or a friend. I believe I would have done this if I was them. Well, why didn't you do it? The reason it's not the way you want it is because you didn't volunteer your time to do it. Amen? Go to them and say, I appreciate it. Thank you for what you did at Open Door Baptist Church. Thank you. I tell you, God appreciates folks that have an appreciative spirit. Be kind to each other. Amen? We have a man that's no longer in our church, and I know basically why he's not here, because I had to deal with his unkindness. And I didn't like the way he treated our ladies. I didn't like the way some things he did. And I tried to be patient and have temperance, but it got to a point that the preacher needed to be the pastor. And as I was telling somebody this morning, I said, I'm the under-shepherd. I'm responsible for all the congregation. I just can't try to please one person. I've got a whole lot to try to help. And I told this individual, he said something to one of our ladies. And he shot his mouth off too much. And I said to him, I said, Brother so-and-so, I said, you need to apologize for talking to her that way. Just rude. Rude. And I got sick of it. And I didn't try to run him off. I just told him plainly, apologize. Tell that woman you're sorry. I wouldn't come to a church if my pastor saw my wife get mistreated and he would turn his head and not care about her feelings. I wouldn't do it. And this is not even my wife I'm referring to that was hurt. She's one of the ones of the many women that was treated rudely. But this woman got treated rudely about right here, in this right by around this section right here, got treated rudely. And I was standing over here to listen, and I heard and saw what he did. And I said, that's enough. I've had enough of it. And I told him, I said, all right, brother. I said, I love you. And I said, I'm glad you're here. But I said, your spirit's not going to work in here. You need to apologize. Guess what? Didn't apologize. He decided to quit. Well, if he's not going to apologize, thank God he did quit. And you don't have to, well, praise the Lord, you did, amen. That's the way I feel. They ain't going to apologize, they can go out the door. Amen. Go down to a No Apology Baptist Church. And I'm going to live down there and go to church, amen. That's the way I feel. They ain't going to mistreat ladies here. I don't like it. I don't care if it's our teen boys. I'm hearing about some of our young boys putting arms around the girls around here. I hope to God I don't find out about it and see it personally. I'll stop it. There will not be any young boys in here putting their arms around any of our girls. I guarantee if their mom or daddy find out, the daddy might come or grandpa might come and put a knot in your head, amen? Leave them girls alone. And you're not married to them. Don't touch them. You want to touch them on your time, on your property, then if your mom or daddy is so spiritually immature they allow it, then let them do it. But you ain't going to touch them on this property. I'm putting my foot down. Don't touch young ladies. Don't touch them. Got that? Matt? Don't be hugging up on Morgan. Amen. No, that's a little different, brother, sister. But it's not right. I don't hear about somebody pecking a kiss on somebody's cheek. That's not me. I don't hear about holding hands. Don't do it. I will call your name in this auditorium. If a boy and a girl sits too close, I'll call your name and say, put a Bible between you. We're not here to date. We're here to worship God. Amen. I'm glad for a preacher like that. If my daughter went somewhere and some old boy loving up on her and hugging up on her and kissing her in the parking lot, and that little pansy preacher wouldn't say anything about it, she'd be going to another church in a hurry. That's the way I feel. We're going to treat young ladies right. Amen. You're welcome. We're going to do it. Amen. And so I said, if you're not going to apologize, I said, then you need to stay home until you get your heart right so you can come back and apologize. That's the way I feel, Brother Allen. Ladies are special. And this world mistreats them all the time. They mistreat them all the time. They're nothing but these, and I don't even want to use the word, but they're nothing but these types of figures all over the television, all over billboards. But I'm telling you, God made women special, and they are special in God's eyes. And they need to be treated right. They need to be treated right. And so I said, hey, you're not going to be kind. And that's not the first time. That's about the fifth time. Five times, I give you two extra strikes, you struck out. Apologize or don't come back. And it's sad to me, Alan Grant, that instead of apologizing, they didn't come back. That breaks my heart, Tim Houston. Be kind to each other, amen? Amen? Be kind. And then last thing is forgiving one another. And Miss Sarah, come on. Forgiving one another. Now, we're not talking about sinners, not in this passage. We're talking about forgiving each other. You say, preacher, won't you forgive that guy? Won't you forgive that guy that's rude to everybody? Well, if he comes back to church and is right with God, he's welcome to come back. Don't have any trouble. We have people today in our church that left this church upset. But they're back. They knew that if they came back right with God, they would be welcomed back. I'm not going to name their names. It embarrassed them. But they're back at Open Door. Why? They knew we really loved them. And they had the right spirit. Bad spirits are not welcome here. It's not Open Door to bad spirits. It's you're a sinner, come on to church. But if you're going to act like a bunch of sinners and have a bad spirit, raunchy, complaining spirit, you're not welcome here at all. We don't want that example here. This is God's church, and we act like God's children. Amen? We set an example. And so we need to forgive. Now, there's some folks who think about that you don't really know if they're saved. You look at their fruits and you say, there's no way they could be saved. There's no fruit there. And I'm not the ultimate judge, and you're not either. But this garbage where we believe we don't judge nobody, you need to study your Bible. That was the Lord speaking to the Pharisees concerning the Pharisees because they were wicked and they could not judge properly. Paul said to the spiritual man, he judges all things. So don't tell me not to judge when the Bible says the spiritual people do judge. The word judge means to discern. That's what it means, Beverly. You better have discernment, Miss Beverly. Sean, you better have discernment. Brother Holloway, don't we need discernment? Don't we need to judge properly? You need discernment. And so when you judge somebody by their fruits and they don't have the fruit of the Spirit and you say that according to the Bible they're not saved, that's not what we're referring to, forgiving them. We're talking about forgiving each other that is saved. We that's been born again, we got to forgive each other. We got to forgive each other. We got it. Someone comes to us, they have the right spirit, and they've got right with God first, because you can try to get right with everybody else, but if you're not right with God first, it's to no avail. You must get right with God, and you can go to that person and say, listen, I'm trying to get things right with God. I'm serious about this. I did this, and I apologize. I'm ashamed of my actions. I ask you to forgive me. And you know what we're supposed to do? If we're saved and they're saved, we're to put on forgiveness. Even though it's tough, no matter how bad they hurt you, no matter how, if they're saved, I'm dealing with this scripture tonight, forgiving those that are saved, forgiving your brothers and sisters. If you know they're saved and they come to you with a humble spirit and they say to you, please forgive me, I was wrong, you are to forgive them. And you not only are to forgive them, but you are to forget about it. Forgiving sometimes not their heart, it's the forgetting what they did. And I know we're human. I was singing songs the other day, Brother Allen, and I'll say this in closing. I was singing songs, and I started singing while I was working out here, emptying trash and cleaning the church up, sweeping and mopping. Well, I was doing all kind of things. And I was just singing, just enjoying myself. And I got singing that old song. Let's see how I remember it goes. Lord, remind me, dear Lord, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And I kept saying it, and then it hit me. Something's wrong with that song. I never really recognized it, but that song's not scriptural. Because the song says, remember, Lord, that I'm human. The song asked Jesus to remember. As if he has the weakness of forgetting. And the very next part says, remind me, Lord, I'm human. What does humans do? And humans forget. It not only said the Lord is weak, that he can't remember, but it also says the Lord is a man, a human. Think about it. Remind me, dear Lord, I'm human and humans forget. We just said God forget, and then we turn around and said humans forget. So we not only said the Lord is weak and he forgets, but we also said that the Lord is nothing but a human. So I threw that song in the trash can. Amen. Hope nobody ever sings it. The Lord don't forget. He don't need to be reminded. Remember, Lord, I'm nothing but human. He knew that more than you did. Amen. He knew it before you was even born. You wasn't nothing but a human. Amen? And so remind us, dear Lord. And so we need to make sure we kind of forgive each other and then try to ask God to help us forget it the best of our ability. And I know things come up that makes us rehash it, rethink about it. But by God's grace, I believe we can put on forgiveness and we can be the Christian we are to be. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon
you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.